Good morning, and God bless you on this final Lord's Day for the year 2020. Colleen and I pray daily for the Lord's blessing to be poured out upon all of us as we purpose in our hearts to honour him and serve him. And while keeping ourselves separate from it, we shine as lights in the midst of a wicked and perverse society which exists in our current day. As we leave this current year behind us and eagerly look forward to what it is that the Lord will have for us in the new year of 2021, we're praying that whatever comes our way during this new year, both as individuals and as the group who make up the remnant of Coastline Baptist Church, that we will be found rejoicing in the Lord, knowing and understanding that as we do, God promises to never forsake his own people, those who are truly devoted to him. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, Paul encourages the believers with the following words. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Along with that encouragement from the word of God this morning, I have included the music for two hymns to offer praise and worship to the Lord our God. Hymn number 262, Trusting Jesus, will introduce our message. And hymn number 351, Near the Cross, will conclude it. So why don't we begin this morning with a word of prayer, and then we'll offer hymn number 262, Trusting Jesus, as our worship to the Lord. And we'll see what I believe the Lord has led me to prepare for his people on this final Lord's Day for 2020. Amen. Let's pray and seek the Lord's blessing as we fellowship with him this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this day, this first day of the week, the day on which we, your people, come together to celebrate and remember that mighty work you perform for us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered upon the cross of Calvary on our behalf, giving his own life for ours that we might have forgiveness of our sins and be redeemed to eternal life. We thank you, Lord, for the assurance we have that no matter how bad things might appear to be, or even how bad they might really actually be, as we wait for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, to call us to be with you, we thank you, Lord, that you have assured us that there is nothing, neither death nor life, nothing in the present nor anything in the time to come, that can separate us from you and the promise that you have declared to us in your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have told us that we are not people of darkness upon whom the circumstances or the situations that prevail in society will sneak up upon us and catch us unawares, but that we are people of light, led by the Holy Spirit of truth and the light of your word, which reveals to us things which are to come, preparing us and reminding us that you know all things. Bless your people today, we pray, as we consider the things that you want to reveal to us, not for the purpose to scare us, but to prepare us for the time ahead. Help us to keep our minds and hearts fixed upon you, that we might truly experience the peace you promise to give to each of us as we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I've already stated, our opening hymn this morning is hymn number 262, Trusting Jesus. And let's take attention to the words of the hymn as we offer them to the Lord this morning. Amen. Hymn number 262, Trusting Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Trusting Him, whatever befalls. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Let's purpose in our hearts that we will truly do that as we consider today's message. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, which I mentioned earlier, Paul encourages the believers with the following words: Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. When Paul proclaimed in verse 5 the promise that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, he was referring to David's prayer to God, as written down in and recorded for us in Psalm 27. As we look forward to whatever it is that the Lord God has for us in 2021, why don't we read the words of this psalm and make them our own prayer? And really, that's one of the reasons they're recorded for us in Scripture anyway. So let's read, in particular, verses 7 through to 14 of Psalm 27, and believe as we do that God has promised that despite whatever might take place around us during what promises to be a very tumultuous year ahead, God has not been caught by surprise, as though he is unaware and not in control of all things, but that he is the God who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Amen. In Psalm 27, verses 7 to 14, David prayed to the Lord our God. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also unto me, and answer me. When thou saidest, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path, because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. In verse 13, David appeals to the Lord's grace and mercy, where he says, I had fainted, unless I had believed, to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And in verse 14, he tells us, we his people today, just what it is that we should do as we watch society descending into increasing chaos and violence. He says in verse 14, Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. My final message for 2020 is an earnest appeal, hopefully to inspire us to wait on the Lord and be of good courage as we progress into 2021. Believing that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us, despite that my message will be almost entirely about negative things that are looming on the horizon, things that will seriously threaten anything that represents a church and the people who profess to hold to Christian values and biblical beliefs. But they are events and situations that I believe the Lord wants us to be informed about, not so that we will be scared, but as I pointed out earlier, it's so that we will be prepared and equipped to stand strong and faithful till we hear his call to come to him. And in order to do that, I'll be using part of the audio from a radio program that I listened to about 2 weeks ago, and which I believe is relevant to us, and which I think the Lord would definitely want us to know about. The message deals with the current elections that are taking place in America, and the rampant evil that is being perpetrated upon the law-abiding citizens. It reveals just who is working behind the scenes, perpetrating the evil, and how that evil will affect we Christians, should the left-wing politicians succeed in their evil plot to circumvent the will of the majority of the people by fraud and form a government. In July of last year, I presented a message entitled, Why Do the Heathen Rage? Based upon that question, as it is presented in Psalm 2 and verses 1 to 5. Today, I want us to reconsider that question and how it relates to the current events that are taking place globally, but predominantly in America. So today's message is entitled, Why Do the Heathen Rage? Reconsidered. So let's begin this morning by reading just what it is that the Lord wants to bring to our attention and reassure us of through this psalm. Psalm 2, verses 1 to 5 read, "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure." This psalm describes a society during the lifetime of King David, around 3,000 years ago, that was in rebellion against God. Although it's not stated, we can actually establish that it was written by King David, by reading chapter 4 of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4 records the account of Peter and John being imprisoned and reprimanded for disobeying the religious ruler's instruction that they were not to get around in Jerusalem publicly speaking in the name of Jesus. Let me assure you that this is something that if certain people have their way and gain control of the governments of America, this will soon be taking place in our day, not only in America, but globally. We read in the scriptures that when Peter and John were released, they went immediately back to the other disciples and reported all that had been done to them and how the Lord had miraculously intervened in protecting them and getting them set free. In Acts chapter 4 and verses 24 to 29, we read about the other disciples' reaction to the news from Peter and John. Reading from verse 24, "And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." That's a direct quote from Psalm chapter 2. And what we discover here is that there is no new thing under the sun, as Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9 declares. Just as the heathen raged and the kings and the rulers of the earth raged and imagined vain things against the Lord of heaven and against his anointed son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in King David's day, they were also doing likewise in the days at the beginning of the church age. And my friends, they are doing the same thing today, raging against God on a grand scale and leading the people to imagine vain things. Continuing on from verse 27 in Acts 4, as the disciples prayed, thanks to God, we discover what the heathen kings and rulers, along with the religious leaders of the day, did. Reading from verse 27, "For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." The heathen took the Lord Jesus at the urging of the religious Jews, and they crucified him, not realizing that God had predetermined these things to happen. But the disciples and the apostles were aware that God was allowing all these things to happen, in fulfillment of the prophetic scriptures, for his purposes. And as there was no new thing in King David's day, and there was no new thing at the beginning of the church age when Acts was written, I think you will agree with me that there is also no new thing happening in the days in which we live, the ending of the church age, the days heralding the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to catch his bride away in the soon coming rapture. Psalm 2 could very well have been written specifically for our historical period. The heathen society that surrounds us on all sides, along with the kings and rulers of the earth, are all raging and imagining vain things against the God of heaven and against his anointed son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we get closer to the Lord's return, this rage is increasing exponentially. Man is devising ways, imagining vain things in his expression of rebellion against God. I mention all these things this morning as an introduction to my message, which is about an example in our present day that clearly demonstrates fallen man's continual rage against God, and the vain imaginations they come up with as they take counsel together against God and his anointed son. To illustrate that this certainly is taking place today, as I said, I'm going to use part of the audio from a talkback radio program that I listened to recently, presented by the Christian radio host Brandon House of the Worldview Weekend Broadcast Network. I have been a registered supporter of the ministry of Brandon House for just under 8 years, and have been regularly listening to his broadcast for about 10 years, mainly as a source of information about what is taking place in the churches. Like with some other ministries that I use as sources of reliable information about current events in the churches, I do not make a habit of sharing their details, mainly because of their associations with other people and ministries that I wouldn't endorse. Dave Hunt is an example. Although I greatly appreciate Dave Hunt's ministry and sometimes use his research materials, I don't endorse him to other people because of his associations with new evangelicals and Pentecostals. The same applies with the ministry of Brandon House. However, although Brandon still has associations on his ministry website and through his radio program with ministries I would not recommend to you, nevertheless, he is a person who, when he discovers that someone he is associating with has some serious doctrinal problems, he will publicly make the error known, and he will stop associating with and endorsing that person. So if after hearing his information today, you feel you need to go and look around on Brandon's website, just be aware that not every ministry hosted on his radio program is on the same page as we are doctrinally. There are a number of people who will be interviewed during this message. They are people that perhaps you have never heard of before, but be assured that they are people who do hold to and promote a Christian worldview. They are being presented here not because of their religious beliefs and affiliations, which I am unsure of, but because of their patriotic beliefs, their involvement with American government, and their first-hand inside information that they have relevant to the current dangerous situation that flourishes in America, both politically and religiously. So that you can come back and remind yourself of who is who, let me introduce a couple of the main people you'll hear Brandon House interviewing. You'll hear from a lady named Mary Fanning, who is the author of the book, The Hammer is the Key to the Coup, The Political Crime of the Century, How Obama, Brennan, Clapper and the CIA Spied on President Trump, General Flynn and everyone else. She is an investigative journalist with the group called The American Report, who investigates and reports on national security issues. She is well known for her series, The Betrayal Papers, which she published in 2015, and which exposes the infiltration of the Muslim Brotherhood into the American government with Obama as president. You'll also hear from a man named Trevor Loudon. Trevor is an author, filmmaker and public speaker, originally from New Zealand. For more than 30 years, he has researched radical left, Marxist and terrorist movements and their covert influences on mainstream American politics. He is best known for his book entitled Enemies Within, Communists, Socialists and Progressives in the US Congress. And he is also known for his similarly themed documentary film, Enemies Within. Also mentioned extensively in the interview is a man named Dennis Montgomery, who is a former intelligence officer in the US government, who developed the Hammer computer system following the 9/11 terrorist attack upon America. The Hammer's purpose was to gather intelligence about non-American citizens who might pose a security threat to the nation. But when Barack Obama was elected president, the Hammer computer system was commandeered and used illegally by crooked operatives within the FBI and the CIA and other intelligence agencies, specifically to gather information or spy upon American citizens with the purpose of blackmailing them and coercing them to do their bidding. According to Montgomery, and according to thoroughly researched and verified evidence that supports his claim, the Hammer computer system was used to steal the 2012 election for Obama, and was also used in the current attempt to steal the 2020 election on behalf of Joe Biden. As you hear this disturbing information today, remember that it is not the governments of the world in whom we trust, but in the living God of heaven. We trust and have our hope in God, who assures us in Psalm chapter 91 and verses 1 through to 4, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. So with that promise from God to give us hope and peace in an otherwise increasingly hopeless and unpeaceful world, remember also the words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 16 and verse 33, where he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So God bless you with his peace, and be of good cheer as we listen now to the information presented here by Brandon House of Worldview Weekend Broadcast Network.
Welcome, glad you're with us. Mary Fanning's going to join us along with Trevor Loudon live in studio. Shocking news today, folks. Been reading a document while Trevor's been filming his brand new TV show that will launch this week. As I said, he is here live in studio, was with us live on TV on Saturday night and live last night. Well, while he was filming his new show that will launch this week, I was reading a new document that I've had on my desk for a couple weeks. Finally had time to get to it. We'll go through it in a minute. Secular Democrats of America. Let me give you a little teaser. They're going to destroy your church. They're going to shut down your church. You think I'm kidding? They're going to shut your church down. They will use pandemics. They will use national emergencies to shut the doors of your church. They are openly stating they are coming after the, quote, mega churches, end quote. It's in the document. The socialists have openly stated they're going to use the Biden administration to declare war on the racist, nationalist Christians. That's how you're described. This is nothing less than communism, Marxism, which is why Saturday night's TV show on why President Trump must declare the Insurrection Act, set up military tribunals, and begin to arrest the treasonous traitors in our midst is imperative. Our folks, we are going to roll into a kind of tyranny and persecution this country and America has never, ever seen, and they will turn the country over to the Chinese. We got into a lot of that last night as well as Saturday night, including General Paul talking about China and military exercises and the compromise of China and Mexico, the compromise of Canada and Mexico with China. So they're surrounding us, folks, in Central America. They're in Canada. They're in Mexico. You basically have a communist leader in Mexico. You have a communist, if not communist sympathetic leader in the current president of Canada. We have them in Venezuela. We have the head of Southcom on video, as you've heard on TV, audio and radio, saying that China is in our backyard. China is in our neighborhood. And he's very concerned. And now we have a president-elect whose family has been bought to the tune of a minimum of $1.5 billion. And it came out over the weekend that Joe Biden and his son were going to be office mates with a communist Chinese party agent. We are living at perilous times. And as the generals said on Saturday night, we are at war. We are at war. There is a revolution going on in America. So we'll get into this document. All new information today, folks. I've just learned about it by sitting here reading this document that you can get yourself and read and see that it's absolutely in black and white. Black words on white paper. Mary Fanning, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Nice to be with you, Brandon.
And Trevor Loudon, thank you for being with us.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks, Brandon.
Great to have you in the Memphis studio, and we're very excited about your new TV show. You've gotten, what are we at now, about 15 shows, 12, 13, 14 shows? Or what are we at?
Something like that. You lose count after
we have. We have
after the first dozen.
It's excellent. It's excellent. Okay, so Mary, we're going to have you on for a quick update. What's the latest coming out of Michigan today with the analysis, the forensic analysis, digital analysis of the voting machines?
Well, they're seeing anomalies showing that the vote up to 68% was flipped. But beyond that, we have other information as well. And when Montgomery went before FBI General Counsel James Baker and gave everything to FBI, at that point, Director James Comey, who has shown his true colors. He gave him the source code as part of his immunity agreement to Scorecard, the stealing mechanism for the vote. So James Comey had the source card and the source code, excuse me, and we don't know where that has gone. We also know that the men that Brennan and Clapper sent in to work at eTrepid with Dennis Montgomery were Chinese nationals, and they now work for Apple and Google. We also know that they are just released a list of Chinese nationals in this country, also in the UK, also in Australia. And so all these countries have been infiltrated. We have to understand that right now they believe that the Federal Reserve was hacked because of the release of those names within all three countries in the West. Of interest is that Montgomery handed over 35 federal networks that were open and could be hacked, and that included the Federal Reserve. They did not close those windows. And so who has that information? This comes into play especially because of James Comey telling that he used to be a communist. He doesn't know what he is now. And that's interesting in light of Comey having all of this information, access to all of our federal agencies, particularly as we're watching this country being attacked in an act of cyber warfare by the Chinese. That's important to understand that James Comey and his FBI had all this information. They didn't close the networks. They left all these 3,400 federal networks open, access to hackers. Now, the other thing that's important to us right now, in light of the stolen vote, in light of these election anomalies, the 141,000 votes that showed up in Michigan and the 112 in Wisconsin, both at 4 in the morning within 5 minutes of one another, is also that we can see that a second hammer is now running. But we don't know, Montgomery does not know, who has that second super surveillance system that had been a U.S. foreign surveillance tool.
Wait a minute. Are you breaking? Is this new? I mean, you have not said this before, right?
This is all new.
This is all brand new. You're breaking it right here.
Yeah, there's a piece coming out shortly.
Because you and I talk a lot privately off the air, as you know, and you haven't even shared this with me because you and I have both been so busy the last 24, 48 hours. So I'm hearing it for the first time. There's a second hammer that's running.
And it's not clear who has that. And because James Comey was given the source code for Scorecard, and because he had access to all of this information with Brennan and Clapper, who also put those Chinese nationals at eTrepid with Dennis Montgomery, who now work for Apple and Google, and the things that we're seeing happen before our eyes, these anomalies.
Can you tell me about the
cyber warfare?
The anomalies. One of them would be the hacking of the Federal Reserve.
One's hacking of the Federal Reserve. They believe that is by those in retribution for releasing that enormous list of Chinese nationals inside this country.
Any other anomalies you can tell us about?
Well, 3,400 federal networks are open, were open to hacking. James Comey took that information under two immunity agreements with Dennis Montgomery in 2015. So they had that information since 2015.
One listener emailed this weekend, and this would be a good time to ask you this question and answer it for everybody. The listener said, I'm not being argumentative. It's a legitimate question. I love what you guys are doing. Can you please ask Mary to explain to the audience, if Dennis Montgomery did nothing wrong, why did he have to enter into two immunity agreements?
Montgomery was a contractor for this government. He was leasing them. They had leases to the material that he would create for the government. When he created the hammer in 2003, it was a foreign surveillance tool that belonged to the Department of Defense. It's an SAP program. When Montgomery was, actually he went in and he was working with others, but he created this. And so they were collecting information on terrorists in order to keep this country safe after 9/11. It was also a tool that was used in the battlefield that helped to keep our troops safe. In 2009, within 2 weeks of Barack Obama coming into office, John Brennan, who was not yet CIA director, and James Clapper, who had oversight of the Hammer at the Department of Defense, they illegally commandeered this super surveillance tool, this very powerful tool, and they moved it to Fort Washington, Maryland, from Intrepid in Reno, so that they could have direct oversight over it, which they did. But they, instead of using it to protect America, they instead turned this super surveillance tool against America. Montgomery had hard drives that was collecting all the information and saw that instead of doing what they were supposed to do with that foreign surveillance tool, they turned it on America, where they had no charter. The CIA holds no charter to spy on America. And Montgomery started, in fact, faxing into the Oval Office to into the White House, to Joe Biden directly, to Barack Obama directly, to every agency, telling them what Brennan and Clapper were doing. And so then he had collected this evidence as to what they were doing, you know, spying on America. And as Montgomery says, it was for the purpose of blackmail and leverage. And so for that reason, he applied to become a whistleblower. They had previously raided his home, tied him to a tree. They put together fraudulent search warrants, and this was under Robert Mueller. They ended up in court, and Magistrate Cook started questioning them, Special Agent West. She found that they were lying about documents. She told them if they didn't tell the truth, they were going to prison. So they dropped the case. She told them to return Montgomery's materials. Now, remember, those are the evidence of the illegally harvested materials, the illegal spying on all of America. But this isn't just collecting, you know, information, you know, on the whole country. They were specifically targeting the Supreme Court, 156 Article III judges, members of Congress. They were spying on our entire power structure.
Hold right there, Mary. And do the mouthpieces of the intelligence community mention the court documents? We're joined in studio by Trevor Loudon, but first we're getting this updated report, including breaking news. She's just reporting here for the first time, and that is there seems to be evidence of a second hammer that is actually this powerful surveillance software she is reporting is being used by who, I guess, Mary? Do we know who?
We don't know who, but what is being reported today is something that Montgomery testified under his two immunity agreements. It's being reported that a sophisticated hacking group backed by a foreign government has now hacked the U.S. Treasury Department. And that information that the U.S. Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve were open, that they had open networks, and that they could be hacked easily. And this also went to another 3,400 federal networks. So our entire network is at risk to cyber warfare. We're seeing this take place right now with the Treasury Department. And those that first reported this believe that this is an act of retribution for releasing the vast number of Chinese nationals in this country, not only in this country, by the way, but in the UK and in Australia. So Montgomery told the FBI director, James Comey, and gave him the evidence. He didn't just speak to this. He gave him the hard evidence that this was, these networks were open. And he also gave to James Comey, the information, the source code to something known as scorecards, a vote stealing mechanism. And so as we're watching the vote stolen in these acts of cyber warfare, keep in mind that Montgomery also told them that the Dominion system was open for vote theft. Now keep in mind, it's not just the Dominion system that is open for vote theft. Every system can be hacked by the Hammer. So there's no system that enters the internet, which is where the vote goes at the transfer points. When it leaves the Secretary of State's computers, at those transfer points, scorecard, the prismatic scoring algorithm, steals the vote on its way via the internet to the vote vault.
Okay, let me get something real clear before we let you go. The immunity deal was something that Montgomery wanted because the Hammer and Scorecard is an SAP program, special access program. And he had been talking about it and trying to warn certain people that this was being used to surveil on Americans and the Supreme Court and other people. So his actually even talking about it and confirming that the program existed could put him at risk. And so when they wanted the source code, he showed up at his meeting to the FBI, you say, with the source code, but he wanted immunity from any future prosecution. Even though what he was doing was trying to warn certain people, it still is a problem if you're confirming or denying the program exists, right?
That's correct, because it's an SAP program. So when he showed up, they were desperate to get the 47 hard drives of evidence. Understand that that was 600 million documents. They stood one upon the other. That's 30 miles high. They wanted all this evidence back in hand because the person who provided the computers for the Hammer when it was initially a foreign surveillance tool was Robert Mueller, although he started misusing it, as did James Comey, along with John Brennan and James Clapper, and the Obama White House that had a direct VPN into the White House from the Hammer.
And also, Mary, the judge, I noticed the mouthpieces for the intelligence community who say this doesn't exist or that this is all fake. First of all, I would say that I would think that General Flynn, as I've been saying for months, would know that whether or not it was real or not, based on the fact that he was at the Department of Intelligence agency, he would know, and this was a DOD, this was a Department of Defense program, and being that he was where he was and who he is with three stars, he would know about this program. And the fact that his attorney was out there talking about it, he would have told her to be quiet, that's fake, it doesn't even exist. But again, being it's an SAP program, special access program, he can confirm nor deny it exists. And you notice we've never heard anything out of him about it, but yet his first interview he gave, he came here where we have been talking about it. So if it's all fake, wouldn't you think he would have steered far and clear from us?
That's ludicrous. There are court documents. First Judge Cook sided with Montgomery.
What's ludicrous? Wait a minute. What's ludicrous?
For anyone to say that this didn't happen, because there are court documents that prove that Judge Cook sided against the FBI with Montgomery. Also, Judge Pro affirmed Judge Cook's ruling. Then you have Montgomery receiving immunity agreements from the government, from the DOJ and the FBI, in order to get this evidence back in hand. Then you also have FBI General Counsel James Baker going before two congressional committees under oath. In fact, the second day he came back and amended his testimony, he said, I need to tell you, yes, I do know something about spying on Donald Trump because, and he mentions Dennis Montgomery by name, and he tells it that government officials are spying on other government officials and Americans. Now, that's the testimony of FBI General Counsel James Baker under oath, along with those immunity agreements from the DOJ and the FBI. There is no question that Dennis Montgomery is telling the truth, and there are legal documents to back that up.
And let's go back to the story before we go to Trevor, and that is out of Michigan. Repeat the breaking news story, please, out of Michigan.
The anomaly is that there was 68% of the vote, which was not incorrect. They reversed it for Biden, and that was incorrect. But it's the overall is we are looking at cyber warfare by foreign enemies working with domestic traitors. And as Trevor knows so well, this is a communist revolution. They're creating chaos and confusion and division in this country. And this is China. This is their attack on this country using cyber warfare to create chaos and confusion as they steal an election from a duly elected president in a landslide.
All right. I don't know if you're aware of this. While we're on the air here, Lynn Wood has tweeted out that better to be safe. Lynn Wood's the attorney in Georgia, has been out there fighting this whole issue of voter fraud, has been in the Oval Office, Better to be safe than sorry. Make sure you have plenty of water, food, flashlights and batteries, candles, radio, Second Amendment supplies, and a plan to meet with leaders of your community. Remember, we only have one president at a time, and our leader is President Trump, not President-elect Biden. And that's really interesting that he's putting that out today. Mary, comment, please.
Well, just as the generals on Saturday were calling for the Insurrection Act and have been for the last couple of weeks, because if you don't have the Insurrection Act, which General McInerney so well described, is not much different than the lockdown that they're doing. But it takes those who have been going and burning our cities in this communist revolution that Joe Biden and Barack Obama and all those in behind all this communist fiasco, they have to be locked down. And under the Insurrection Act, if they are out and they're doing this, they immediately get arrested.
Mm. You want to say something, Mary?
Yeah, one more thing. You know, it's important to understand, in light of some of the things that are coming forth, that Montgomery told that Brennan, Clapper, and Obama were collecting the names of everyone that belongs to a Christian church or a temple. And he lists this information at a website, Blixware, blxware.org. And think about this. I mean, this is something that is worthy of the Nazis or the Stasi, collecting the names of everyone that belongs to a church or a temple. That should awaken the American people.
Yeah,
just
it should.
That one
well,
fact.
They're coming after Christians, and it's very clear in this secular Democrats of America plan we're about to read on the air. So add that plan to what you're saying now. Yeah. Yeah, we're headed for civil war, or we're headed for tyranny or insurrection act. In fact, that's the theme of our TV show from Saturday night with the two generals. We're either headed for civil war, insurrection act, or for a complete surrender to the Marxist. So, folks, I hope you'll watch that show in light of what the two generals are saying, in light of what Mary is saying today. Breaking news here, right here again, another scoop. She's breaking that there is a second hammer in play. So very, very troubling. Now, Mary, people are wanting to know, well, why have Brandon, people are emailing right now, why have you not interviewed Dennis Montgomery? Why have I not had him on the broadcast? Mary, can you tell the audience?
Well, interestingly, because he's still under the muzzle, the government-invoked muzzle, the state secrets privilege, and the government protective order. That is a muzzle. And interestingly, going into the election, he got a call from the Department of Justice and a letter saying, oh, by the way, keep in mind that you're still under the state secrets privilege and the government protective order that has been invoked against you. You may not speak. So as they got ready to steal the country, they reminded him that he was under this government muzzle.
So to all the national security traitors and idiots listening that want to tell me this is fake and real, first of all, you're stupid. You're either stupid or you're a traitor. I don't know which one. I'm still trying to figure out with some of you. But if this guy is such a clown and what he's saying is so fake, can you please tell me why what you just reported? Why would they even bother to call him, right? Why would they call him and remind him of that?
Because they, just like the Mockingbird lying media, they think if they keep repeating a falsehood, people will begin to believe it. But now you know the media is fake, they lie, and they're standing with the communists.
But the point is the deep staters wouldn't be afraid of a guy that's a fake and a clown and a drunk and a gambling addict as they painted him. Why would they bother sending him a letter before the election telling him, oh, by the way, why would they do that if he was a fake and a clown?
Well, as we put out a piece, everything that they said that they tried to lie about him, that he said that there were things in Al Jazeera, National Geographic did a special on it 2 months ago at the end of September talking about that exactly what Montgomery said he had done. They didn't name the names who found it out, but they went into great detail about it, including Peter Bergen, the CNN's reporter.
Hmm. So in closing here, Mary, Federal Reserve hacked. China, Russia, or the third group that's got, as you're reporting, access to a second hammer? Which one?
No one knows who has that second hammer that's running.
So who do you think hacked the Federal Reserve, that group or Russia or China or both or all the above?
They believe it was a group that was under the influence of China. So if they're going, you have to think about what this means. If they're going in to the U.S. Treasury Department and they're showing that they can go into the Treasury, can you imagine the chaos and the confusion that they're seeding?
And again, we warned about this years ago, hacking into the banks, and Ted Koppel did a great piece with his book on Lights Out about hacking and cyber hacking into the banks and infrastructure, and here we are. Mary, your website is theamericanreport.org, theamericanreport.org. You have a new piece coming out that we can feature real soon, right?
Shortly.
Shortly. All right. When it does, we'll break it over at worldviewreport.com and worldviewtimes.com. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
We come back, we're going to go to this document, shocking document of what some leading Democrat socialists plan, and includes you will not be able to avoid having your child poisoned with a vaccine. You will not be able to declare any kind of religious exemption. They've openly stated they're coming after, quote, mega churches. They're coming to shut down your churches. We'll be right back. All right, so here's this document, Trevor, that you were in there doing your show. I've had it printed out sitting on my desk for a while. You said you saw it here in my production area sitting there. And it's called Secular Democrats of America, Restoring Constitutional Secularism and Patriotic Pluralism in the White House. And this is prepared exclusively by Secular Democrats of America PAC for President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris transition team. Now, it's presented by Representatives Jamie Raskin, Jared Huffman, and endorsed by Representative Jerry McNerney. Jamie Raskin, do you remember off the top of your head who he is, or should I tell you?
Yeah, absolutely. Jamie Raskin is the son of Marcus Raskin, who founded the Institute for Policy Studies, well known as one of the most dangerous left-wing non-profits in Washington, very heavily involved with the Soviet Union back in the day, very heavily involved with the Cubans even today.
So he's a communist.
Look, Jamie Raskin is a hardcore leftist. He's involved with Democratic Socialists of America.
So he's a communist.
Well, I would say that, yes.
And it looks like he was involved with good old Jesse Jackson and the Rainbow Coalition.
Yeah. He's been on the radical far left. He comes from one of the most radical far left families in the country. He is one of the most radical far-left congressmen you could meet, involved with the Communist Rainbow Coalition, the Marxist Democratic Socialists of America, close connections with NIAC, which is a front for the Iranian government. This guy is a very dangerous character.
Well, he's going to shut down your churches and steal all your religious liberty. He's going to make sure your kids are injected with poison no matter what's in it. You'll have no religious exemption. Any of the Christian ministries out there wanting to do work in national disasters like Samaritan's Purse or whatever, they can basically forget that. And they're going to mandate creation is not ever taught. And they're going to come after the mega churches. They clearly want to come after Christians. I mean, they're calling us basically racist and white supremacist. And so this is a hateful document while they claim to be secular. And yet they're not secular because there is no such thing as secular. Even the Supreme Court ruled in the 60s in a decision that secular humanism was a religion. So they're liars on top of it, or either they're stupid or both, because there is no such thing as being secular. Everybody has a religion. Religion is simply a system, set, or collection of beliefs. Go look up the definition. So they're not secular. They're deeply religious. They have a faith. They have a faith in something. All right, so who else is in this document? We're going to move fast, but we'll come back to it on another show. We got Jared Huffman. Do you meet? I'm still over here at KeyWiki. Do you want me to tell you off your website who this guy is, or do you remember?
Yeah, well, he's basically a left-wing Democrat. He's not a...
Come up here on this.
He's not a member of the... Most of the people supporting this document are members of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, including the Muslim Rashida Tlaib. So it shows it's not that secular. But they're all of the very far left of the Democratic Party, the anti-religious left, and they want to destroy, clearly through this document, what they would call the religious right.
Here, let me let you clear your voice. There you go. Now bring it back up. See, we got a cough button and everything.
Yeah, they want to destroy conservative traditional Christianity in this country. The kind of crazy, way out, wacky people who elected Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump. That's who they're coming after.
And Mary tells me that Raskin was one questioning FBI counsel, General Counsel James Baker, when Baker dropped the bombshell about Montgomery and his evidence. Tasking was trying to carefully thread the needle with Jim Jordan, jumped in and asked Baker about spying. So very interesting stuff there. All right, so let's go. Let me do this. You want that? You want that? Oh, yeah, Steve Cohen's on there, Rashida Tlaib. So, again, for this, I mean, this woman here, tell me, remind our audience who she is.
Well, this was endorsed by the Congressional Free Thought Congress membership, theoretically congressional atheist. But Rashida Tlaib, the Muslim, is on there. She's a Marxist, a member of Democratic Socialists of America. Eleanor Holmes Norton is on that list, a former member of the Socialist Party USA. And you have Steve Cohen, who works very closely with the local Maoists in Memphis and Democratic Socialists of America. And Dan Kildee, you know, all of these people are on the very far left of the Democratic Party. And this document is aimed very clearly at shutting down traditional Christianity in this country.
Yeah, Hitler would love this document.
He would. He would. I'm not exaggerating on that. I've had a bit of a look at it. I know the people involved, and this is designed to shut down their opposition because traditional Christianity tends to vote politically conservative. They elected Donald Trump. They elected Ronald Reagan. And this offends the Marxists and the atheists and the communists.
All right, let me tell you what's in it.
This is against them.
For the sake of time, we'll move fast. Dismantle the HHS conscience and religious freedom division. So you can't have any kind of religious exemption, you know. Repeal the executive order promoting free speech and religious liberty. Rescind and replace the Department of Justice memorandum, federal law protections for religious liberty. I mean, they just spell it out. Work with Congress to incentivize states to increase their vaccination rates by repealing all non-medical exemptions to mandatory vaccinations for children in schools and daycare centers. So, non-medical. So if you say, hey, wait, my religious faith, you know, prohibits me from taking a vaccine filled with aborted fetuses. Sorry.
Well, that's gone. That's gone. History.
Gone. Reverse the Trump administration policies that have allowed faith-based government-funded contractors to provide adoption and foster care services to discriminate on the basis of religion, and work with Congress to pass Every Child Deserves a Family Act. So if your adoption agency says, look, we don't provide a service here to provide adoption services to homosexual or lesbian couples, we can't do that. Gone.
Yeah, this is, yeah, exactly.
Fully and robustly fund comprehensive, medically accurate sex education. So this is abortion on demand. This is everything you can imagine, right?
Yeah, this is the trend, the non-binary gender agenda. You know, you don't really know you're male. You don't really know you're female. And so this is empowering all of these left-wing, far-left social sexual programs that have been bombarding the kids for years. This is going to make this go onto steroids.
Work with Attorney General to reverse former Attorney General Jeff Sessions' memorandum on federal law protections for religious liberty. So religious liberty is out the window, folks. Appoint an Attorney General to the Department of Justice who will support governors. Listen now, folks. Let me read this again. Are you got your thinking caps on? Are you listening to what I'm about to tell you? Are you listening to what I'm about to read to you from a group of, can I say again, communist?
Yeah.
Okay, a group of communists in Congress that are going to be helping drive the bus for Joe Biden. Quote, appoint an attorney general to the Department of Justice who will support governors whose emergency declarations and or executive orders require even-handed universal restrictions on indoor gatherings, including at houses of worship, to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. The Department of Justice must ensure that these orders are enforced without discrimination or preference, and that houses of worship are treated the same as similarly situated organizations and activities, end quote. So no religious exemption for a church. They will be able to use any pandemic to shut down a church or a synagogue,
which is directly in contradiction to the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. So this is really a pretty horrific document that you've discovered here, Brennan.
And I'm going through it with you for the first time because I've had it for about 2 weeks or so, but I haven't had a chance to read it, but I was reading it while you're doing TV. So in all fairness to you, you're just seeing this for the first time.
Well, I've had a little bit of a look through it, but I recognize the talking points. I recognize the people promoting this. Some of them are connected to Democratic Socialists of America. All of them are on the far, far left of the Democratic Party, and that would really put them in the communist category now. That's the honest truth.
Let's read again from this document. This is, again, what a group of communist Democrats, I believe that's what they are, that's what Trevor believes they are, this is what they want to do in a Biden administration. Issue guidance that clarifies the duty and obligation of government officials to separate their personal religious beliefs from their work. Public services are inherently non-sectarian, and so are public offices and government property. We must establish a new standard for appropriate constitutional conduct by all public officials, whether a county clerk like Kim Davis or a U.S. cabinet official like Secretary Mike Pompeo. So they go on to say, which puts the Constitution at the rights of taxpaying citizens first and ensures the public officials never use their position and offices to discriminate, proselytize, or promote, quote, religious dogma, end quote. So Kim Davis refused to give a marriage license to homosexuals, and she went to jail. And
right.
now Mike Pompeo, they think, you know, he's an evangelical Christian by his own admission. So they're saying basically you're going to have to be a communist or an atheist or whatever you are. You're not going to be able to at all defend or promote or do something or not do something based on your religious convictions. You either do what we tell you or you're out of here. You cannot claim religious convictions.
Yeah, this is really an attack on the First Amendment here.
Okay, here's another part. Instruct the Internal Revenue Service to enforce the Johnson Amendment. What's the Johnson Amendment?
The Johnson Amendment is the amendment enacted by Senator Johnson in the 50s that forbade all churches from endorsing candidates. It's been broadened in many people's minds to include not talking about politics at all, but that's really what it is, endorsing candidates. And so...
Didn't Trump have something to do with getting rid of that?
Well, he wants to get rid of it, yeah. That I don't think it's formally been done. But, you know, there are many churches around the country now that including a lot of the black churches who openly endorse Democrats all the time, you can guarantee it will not be applied against them.
But if a conservative church has a conservative candidate show up on a Sunday morning, look out.
Yeah, that'll be different.
So instruct the Internal Revenue Service to enforce the Johnson Amendment as the law and one component of the broader set of campaign finance measures that we need to strengthen the institutions that Trump has weakened. Crack down. Listen, folks. Crack down on nonprofits operating as businesses, including mega churches.
Well, you know, this... That's exactly right. This is going to be targeted at one kind of religion. It's not going to be targeted at left-wing black churches or progressive churches. It's going to be completely targeted at constitutional, pro-freedom, traditional Christianity.
The IRS has been very careful to define who and who is not a church. Pretty much anybody can establish a church. This is now going to decide who's a church and who's a business and can be shut down.
Yeah.
The document reading from is called Secular Democrats of America. Secular Democrats of America. It's subtitled Restoring Constitutional Secularism and Patriotic Pluralism in the White House. It's still online. It's a PDF. I downloaded it, so I have it if they delete it. But you ought to be able to find it by just typing in Secular Democrats of America. They're Restoring Constitutional Secularism. And it's a document that is about 25 pages, but shocking. Go back to this. They want to enforce the Johnson Amendment stronger and crack down on nonprofits operating as businesses, including mega churches. So now they can decide what is a church and what is not. As I told you before the break, go look up what the IRS defines as a church. Pretty much any of you could operate and establish a church, okay? The IRS, by its own admission online, says that they don't go around trying to figure out who and who is not a church that strictly. They have certain criteria, and pretty much anyone can meet them. And you don't have to meet all of them. You just have to meet a few of them. So now all of a sudden they're going to change that, and they want now the government to decide who is considered a church and who is not. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. And they want to work with Congress to pass legislation that would strengthen enforcement of the Johnson Amendment, which means, again, cracking down on any churches that talk about religious issues and worldview issues related to government or to politics, which politics is derived from the word the affairs of the city. So if you publicly apply a biblical worldview from the pulpit to the affairs of the city, they're going to say you're involved in politics, thus you're violating the Johnson Amendment, thus they can rip away your nonprofit status and even shut you down, correct?
Well, that's what it appears to be to me. Right up until now, the government has not determined which are churches and which is not. This is clearly moving in the direction where there will be government-approved churches and non-government-approved
Absolutely.
Churches.
Absolutely. Just like China.
And if you're, yes, exactly like China. And if you're in the non-government-approved category, well, there's going to be major consequences for you.
Congress, the crackdown on nonprofits, okay, let's go back here. Okay, requiring all 501c3 nonprofit organizations to file the Form 990, including houses of worship. Now, for those who are not in the know, organizations, the nonprofits have to file a 990 that shows how they're spending the money as a public charity. Churches are exempt from that. So now what they're going to do is they're going to really bring a magnifying glass onto the churches and how they're spending their money and try to say what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. Again, bringing more controls onto the churches and anything they can find. Now they're going to start digging into their finances, which you know how subjective that can become.
Look, we know how the IRS was weaponized against the Tea Parties, for instance. We know that the Justice Department has been weaponized against enemies of the government. So what this does is give the government a lot more power to come after churches who may offend the powers that be. So this is about as dangerous as you can get for religious liberty. And people say, well, that would never be abused. Well, we all know that the government will abuse any power that it has given enough time. So this is an extremely dangerous document. And there are credible people behind this. By credible, I mean members of Congress, all identified with the far left. It's very clear which direction this will be applied.
All right. Then it goes on to say, in their document here, that repeal the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Repeal it. Repeal the RFRA, that's what it stands for, Religious Freedom Restoration Act, eliminates this unconstitutional privilege. So the repeal of that eliminates what they call this unconstitutional privilege. However, even if the repeal is not feasible, it remains vital that while the rights of Americans to worship freely is protected, religion is not treated as a license for corporations to burden the rights and lives of innocent third parties. What does that even mean? So now all of a sudden they can say, well, you're a religious organization. You have a religious broadcast network like VCY America or any of the other churches that have radio stations and TV stations and religious broadcast ministries or whatever it might be. Now they can say that your religion has become a license for your nonprofit corporation to burden the rights and lives of innocent third parties by what you're saying over the air about LGBTQ, about Islam, about anything.
About abortion, whatever, you know, because these innocent third parties, if you criticize them, you're burdening their lives.
Yep.
You're making their lives more difficult.
Yep.
So therefore you have no right to do that. So you cannot criticize Islam. You cannot criticize abortion, the LGBTQ agenda. So it's very easy to see what this is trying to do.
This is going
to
shut down Christian radio as we know it.
Absolutely.
If they get to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it'll shut down what we know as Christian radio today. You might be able to have a progressive
Christian
program, which will be socialism with a Christian veneer.
Which will be interfaith dialogue.
Yeah, interfaith dialogue. But the Christianity that you would hear on this program, for instance, would absolutely be shut down.
Be gone. Suggest the Attorney General confer with the Department of Office of Legal Counsel to issue a memorandum regarding enforcement of the Establishment Clause in public schools, including students' protection from school-sponsored proselytizing and teaching accurate evidence-based... really funny. Evidence-based secular curriculum rather than creationism in the schools. So they have all this evidence, do they? Well, that comes down to interpretation. I mean, the Grand Canyon, your evidence says a little bit of water caused that over a long time, or your evidence says a lot of water caused that in a short period of time, depending on what your presupposition is when it comes to creation. But they claim to have evidence we don't. That's not true.
That's right. They're talking about the separation of church and state here, but they're quite happy to allow their secular interpretations to shut out any religious interpretation of history or the world around us.
And by the way, this document is filled with separation of church and state. And their definition of separation of church and state is you don't express your religious views publicly, period.
Yeah. Their religion, their secular religion, will become dominant.
They go on to talk about the rise of white nationalism. They're calling on the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Justice to dictate resources to de-radicalization programs aimed at hate groups. Can you say brainwashing? Can you say re-education camps?
Look, the country is in the midst of a communist revolution led by people like Black Lives Matter, a pro-Chinese communist group but they are worried about the seven white supremacists out there.
They're calling us white supremacists.
Well,
they're...
that's right. They broaden the term white supremacists to mean Republicans, Christians, people who believe in borders, pretty much anybody they don't
but
like.
But look, what they want the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Justice to dedicate resources to de-radicalization programs aimed at hate groups. Yeah. They want brainwashing camps to unbrainwash us from our so-called hate. This is nothing more than a government program to reprogram those they don't agree with.
Exactly.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon Howe.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So there's a lot of information there to consider, particularly as it relates to the church and to we Christians personally. Should it come to pass that the Lord's intention is for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, their presidency, to become a reality. Psalm 2 and verse 4 gives us God's response to these heathen who rage against him and who imagine vain things about him. Verse 4 tells us that he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. God will come sometime in the not too distant future, I believe, and he will deal with the situation of men's rebellion and their rejection of him and of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't want to be anywhere near the action when he does. And we won't be if we've believed the gospel and we've repented of our sins and called out to God to be merciful to us and we've been saved from the wrath to come. The rapture approaches and we'll soon be with the Lord in heaven. Amen? Let's pray and then we'll have our closing hymn, hymn number 351, Near the Cross. Thank you, Lord, that we live in this exciting period that you call the time of the end, the time that Daniel prophesied would be recognized by an increase in knowledge. We thank you that we have the great blessing of being able to use the technology that allows us to share in the research that people have done on the other side of the world. And then they've made it available for us here in Cairns so that we might be informed and not ignorant about the devices of the devil as he walks to and fro on the earth in his attempt to deceive the whole world. We thank you too, Lord, for the assurance that you give us that if we keep our hearts and minds devoted to you, you will keep us in perfect peace, a peace that cannot be understood in the natural. We thank you too that despite what the kings and the great ones of the earth imagine in their wicked hearts, in their attempts to have a will that excludes you and your Son's involvement, nevertheless you have given us your word in the Bible that clearly reveals to us how all things work together in accordance with your will and good pleasure. Bless your people today and in the coming week, keeping us safe in your hand, we pray, from any threat that man or the devil might form against us. Keep us safe too from the coronavirus, which also continues to threaten the world. Keep our hearts zealous to continue serving and honouring you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just quote two scriptures as we close with our hymn, with hymn number 351, Near the Cross. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 promises about God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Let's determine to keep our minds and our eyes fixed on the Lord and things that are above, rather than upon what wicked men upon the earth might get up to. God assures us that if we do, he will keep us in perfect peace. Amen. And in the closing of his letter to the church at Philippi, Paul instructed the members all those years ago, in Philippians chapter 4 and verses 4 through to 7, and he instructs us today, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And listen, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God bless you, and have a good week. The Lord is at hand. And as I always say, keep in the word, keep in prayer, and keep safe. Amen. Hymn number 351, Near the Cross.